From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
Well, shares of Mattel, they were up as much as 8% in today's session, settling by the close of up about 0.6%. This after the company posted third quarter results that exceeded expectations. They're working through their supply chain bottlenecks. We want to know more about that, that's for sure. Let's get to it. And back with us is Mattel CEO Ynon Kreiz. He is on the phone in California. Ynon, nice to have you here with us. How are you?
Good, Carol. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Well, it's so nice to have you back with us. Lots of questions. What was the best of the quarter? What was the worst of the quarter?
Well, you know, we had another great quarter with strong consumer demand for our products. We achieved growth and gained market share now for 5 quarters in a row. We expect to continue growing in the fourth quarter. We expect to gain market share and have a strong holiday season. We are on track to achieve our highest full-year growth rate in decades.
Wow.
And just increased our guidance for the third time this year. So, you know, we are definitely performing at a high level and executing on our strategy and on a clear path to improve profitability and accelerate top-line growth.
Tim was riveted by my stories of growing up with Barbies and loving them and inheriting the Barbies from my older sisters. It was a big deal growing up. What's being bought? What are families buying for their kids?
You know, we really saw strong demand across the portfolio. We saw growth in Barbie. We saw growth in Hot Wheels. The entire dolls category grew. The vehicles category was growing. And then we saw really, really strong growth in our action figures category. That was up 50% in the quarter and 76% year to date. But this is really about the entire portfolio showing strength. We actually grew market share in our three core categories where we're a global leader, in two of our challenging categories, and in each of our four regions. So the performance was comprehensive pretty much across the board.
Ynon, how were you able to successfully work through supply chain challenges? It's been a couple of minutes since we started the interview, and it's shocking that we haven't talked about the supply chain yet, because it is absolutely
dominating. I just wanted to know about Barbies.
You
all right,
did, Carol,
Tim,
but it really has been dominating every earnings report and every call that we hear from companies this quarter. What specifically were you able to do in the most recent quarter, and what are you doing in this quarter to alleviate the pressures that you're facing when it comes to the supply challenges?
Yes, Tim. I mean, look, our supply chain and commercial organizations were very successful in working through global supply chain disruptions in trying to meet consumer demand. It's not that we were not impacted, but we did anticipate short supply and longer lead times and factor that into our planning with very specific mitigating actions. And this is really where our scale, expertise, and flexible supply chain model, which we restructured over the last 3 years, is playing to our advantage, and we are ready for a strong holiday season.
But do you have Barbies and Hot Wheels right now stuck in ships and containers that off the coast of the port of LA right now?
Well, we actually have sufficient inventory. We have the capacity, and we are ready for the season. We have our retail orders that we see strong. We have our retail promotional plans in place, and we believe we have the inventory and the capacity to meet our new guidance for the year, and expect to have lots of toys under the trees for the holiday season.
Well, so wait, let's dig a little bit deeper into that, because One of the things that we've been wondering, and we saw it during the pandemic, where people were just hoarding and buying tons of stuff and stocking their cupboards. And companies can do the same thing by doing advanced buying and just kind of overstocking. People do it with unit sales or something, or certain commodities. You know, how much did you kind of overstock potentially, or buy to make sure that your shelves, that you had sufficient inventories for the season? Because it sounds like you've got already what you think you're going to need for the holiday season, where they need to be already, that you're not worried about it being stuck on ships out in sea. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. You know, we, as I said, this is not that we don't see issues. We do work through those challenges and still expect to achieve growth in the fourth quarter and growth in the holiday season.
Right.
We are working very closely with our retail partners. We look to have the right product at the right time with the right retailer. We're seeing demand remaining strong and do what we can to try and meet all of it. We may not be able to meet all of the demand, but we do what we can to try and meet and still expect to grow in the season.
So may not be able to meet all the demand. On the flip side, Inan, is it possible that you overorder or overproduce at this point, I guess overproduce for, you know, and that you're left with stock after the holiday season? That's possible too.
No, we don't believe this is the case. If anything, we are chasing demand. Demand is outpacing capacity right now, and we are chasing it. You know, this is what we do. This is exactly the core competence of the company, and we traditionally excel during the holiday season. It does take a lot of planning. You know, we create demand, and then we try to fill it. And we work closely with the retailers to cater for this demand and be able to meet the needs of our consumers.
We talked earlier this year, Inan, and the narrative really was around the idea of parents and grandparents spoiling their kids as a result of COVID lockdowns, hybrid schooling. As things start to open up, as kids potentially under the age of 12 could get vaccinated very soon, are you concerned that demand will dry up and kids will start doing experiential things rather than buying things?
You know, the toy industry was expected to grow before the pandemic, and we believe it is a growth category on the other side of the pandemic. It is fair to say that the pandemic did stimulate demand, but, you know, it wasn't all positive. There were also headwinds, as we know, in terms of supply chain, COVID-related lockdowns, retail closures, and other factors that impeded demand. But that said, we haven't just tagged on to the industry. We grew almost double the industry growth rate in the quarter and year to date. In fact, we even accelerated our market share gains in the third quarter. So we're not just riding the wave of COVID-related demand, but we're actually ahead of the industry and do what we can to continue to innovate and create great product that inspires, entertain, and develop children through play.
Hey, you know, Tim and I were at the Milken Institute Global Conference this past week. It feels like a week ago, but it was just there earlier this week. And I hosted a panel with on global M&A. And one of the things that came up is that, yes, companies are continuing to do deals. We're on track for a record year, $4 trillion perhaps, maybe even $5 trillion. But the other thing that they said that's happening a lot of is alliances. And I think the partnerships that you do, whether it's WWE or with Disney, are important to your growth story. Tell me about like the renewed partnership with WWE. How does that help Mattel specifically on the top and bottom line?
Yeah, with our increased capability and the stronger platform that we have built, we have more capacity to grow partnerships. This is something that we were less focused on in the past, given the strength of our own catalog. But we now can expand our business through these partnerships with key players, with big important franchises, global franchises, in addition to what we do with our own catalog. So the WWE is a great example of renewing a long-term relationship for a really great action figure franchise. And, you know, likewise, also we just expanded our relationship with Disney for the Pixar movie Lightyear. This is the origin story of Buzz Lightyear, which is expected to be very toyetic, very playful, great movie, and a lot of really exciting product. We have the global licensing rights to develop the toy line and expect to launch that in the summer of 2022. So another opportunity for us, another growth lever for Mattel, leveraging the scale,
right,
leveraging the network of more than 470,000 doors where we sell our product.
You know, and I'm wondering about Mattel Television, 13 shows in production, 30 plus are in development, new content on Netflix. Help us draw the line and help investors, our audience, draw the line from Netflix content and what kids see on the screen and what parents see on the screen to the actual moving of products off of shelves or online.
This is about capturing the full value of our intellectual property, which is the mid to long-term part of our strategy. And what we say is that in addition to what we do on the toy side of our business, where we see a lot of room to grow and improve profitability, we can also extend into highly accretive verticals that are directly adjacent to the toy industry, all driven by big franchises, big brands that rise above the noise level and can become successful accretive businesses in and of themselves. So Mattel Film, Mattel Television, our digital gaming business, digital experiences, licensing and merchandising, music, all are verticals where we can participate and capture more value given the strength of our catalog. And as you mentioned, Mattel Television is now thriving with many shows.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned 8 shows this year alone.
Yeah.
And more coming.
Enon, just got about 10 seconds. What's your favorite toy? I know I always ask you that. Do you got a new one?
I have so many favorite toys. Look out for the new Barbie Dreamhouse. Dreamhouse always a classic. The new Dreamhouse is incredible.
Alex Steele's daughter wants that. I know that.
Yeah.
All right.
Masterverse series.
In my house, it's all about Thomas and Friends.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. Hey, Enon, be well, and hopefully we'll talk to you through the holiday season. Enon Kreiz, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer at Mattel.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.